Good afternoon. I want to thank everyone for coming out today. With everything that's gone on in the past few days, we've been reached out to and we've spoken with Dave with the United Cajun Navy. We feel that we need the extra resources to come in and help us as we try to get more organized for our family and see if we can't bring some more clues to light. We're very grateful for everyone that's done everything so far. We ask that you continue. We ask that you work and help with us to become more organized, because we don't want individuals out there alone without us knowing, so that we want to make sure everybody's careful. Safety is the number one priority. We appreciate more than you'll ever know the outpouring that we've received from the community, from the press, and everyone else involved. Our goal is still to bring Riley home. We feel that is still a very pliable goal. We feel like Dave and his team and the volunteers that he knows are very skilled and will help bring this for us. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Dave and let him kind of bring some information to light. If we have questions at the end, we'll be more than happy to address, but I do ask that we have a little bit of courtesy for what we're going through right now, and give us just, you know, a few questions, and we'll again meet as we have more information, okay? Thank you, Dave.
My name is David Flagg. For those who don't have a spelling, last name is F like Foxtrot, L-A-G-G. And I am the National Director of Operations for the United Cajun Navy. Those of you who may not know, people who in the audience that may not know, we are a disaster response organization. We respond to natural disasters, all over the country. We're formed during Hurricane Katrina, when New Orleans was flooded so badly. We had just a bunch of good old boys that had boats and took it upon themselves to go out into the waters of New Orleans and start rescuing people, taking them supplies, et cetera, et cetera. Fast forward to today, our organization has been to almost every major natural disaster in this country, to include Hurricane Michael, Hurricane Ian, the Texas wildfires. We have people there now, the fires in Maui. So that's kind of an overview, brief overview of what we do. We also obviously get involved in missing persons cases. We do search and rescue and a focus on providing supplies of whatever nature to people might need them, food, clothing, etc. I was to touch on the reason that we're here today. We were contacted by Riley's family and asked to step up and provide some more resources to this search activity. And we have been pretty much involved from the very first day that we heard about it, which I believe was on Monday, would have been the 10th, 11th, whatever day that was. We've had an airboat here on the river. We've had people involved behind the scenes and following this and understanding what's been happening here with regard to the search efforts of individuals. We felt that it was probably a real good idea for us to step in and organize a structured and organized search activity for this. We also have, today we have a hovercraft coming in and a pilot to run that craft. If he gets here early enough, we will be on the river today. And if not, we'll start early tomorrow morning and spend a good bit of time on the river here, assisting in that search. We had an airboat here, and that individual will be returning, I believe, Friday, possibly Saturday. I would reiterate what Riley's father said. Our main focus, obviously, is to find Riley. Our secondary focus is to ensure the safety of the people who are out here searching. You know, if we have folks just out on their own on these very steep and treacherous terrain on the riverbank and other treacherous aspects of this search, we don't know. You know, we don't know what's going on with you. It's not safe. It's real dangerous. So I would encourage any volunteers who have been here and are searching to please come under the umbrella of the United Cajun Navy search. We will be putting together a structured and organized ground search at some point in the near future. I don't have the specific information on that yet, but I will make that information known once I have it. If you do intend to come out and search with us or to continue to search on your own, there are some safety aspects that you need to know. Number one, you need to be wearing some sturdy shoes. You need to have some heavy gloves on and some nitrile or rubber gloves as well. There's a lot of garbage and debris and needles and bodily fluids of one kind or another that are on these riverbanks that you really don't want to be exposed to. So that's what I would ask of you, just for your own safety. And I would also reiterate what Riley's father said. If you all do have questions for the family, please be very, very sensitive about the nature of this incident. As you can imagine, those of you who have children or don't have children, I guess the best advice I could give would be don't ask a question of the family that you would not want to be asked yourself. That's pretty much all I have to say. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Kevin Lambert with News Nation. Just one thing that I wonder for you and for the family. The police have been steadfast for at least several days in saying that they don't suspect any foul play. Have you seen the evidence to that? Do you believe it?
At this point, there is no evidence that I'm aware of that would indicate foul play. You know, y'all know how it goes on Facebook and social media. There's been a lot of chatter on there about the fact that Riley's debit card was found on the riverbank and that is prima facie evidence of criminal activity, something of that nature there. I don't agree with that. You know, obviously I'm not the investigator. We have a couple of representatives from MMPD here, and I'm sure they have something to say about it. But I would very seriously at this point doubt that there's been any criminal activity.
Brendan Tierney with WSMB4. First, Michelle, you guys are obviously asking for more people to come in and help at this point. Are you satisfied with the job Metro Police have done, and what are you hoping that this additional volunteer effort will do to help you?
Yes, we feel like they've handled it well. We know that there is an excessive amount of information coming into them that they're having to dissect. You know, it's hard as a parent, as we are now 10, 11, 12 days into this, and we're trying to, you know, find Riley, come up with, you know, an outcome here. And so, yes, as the days drag on, we are frustrated. We know they're doing their job. We've seen what they've got, you know.
We know they're doing things that we haven't been informed about. That's probably with any investigation like this. There's details that they're not going to share with us that we're sure they're working on too. We don't know what all for sure they've done as far as searches goes. We don't know some of the information, but that's not to say they haven't done it.
Exactly. And, you know, Dave is kind of an extra resource for us, a point of contact with his foundation, his group, to be able to help us so that we can focus and make sure that we're doing everything as best as possible. It's been hard to, being from out of town, being from 6.5 hours away, to put a structured program together when you don't know everywhere that you're at, you don't know the lay of the land as well, you don't have your family and your resources that are in your hometown to be able to help guide you and lean on to build a organized search. And that has bothered us, and Dave is our answer.
Kind of rewinding a little bit, I know that y'all saw the bar footage for the first time, potentially. Is there anything significant there that you feel comfortable sharing at this time?
The only thing really that we have seen with our own eyes is in the bar footage would be Riley and his friend going down the stairs just before he exited the bar. And his friend turns around and goes back up the stairs. You know, we're not focusing on a lot of the stuff that happened earlier. We're still pushing forward, and we're trying to figure out where he's at now.
I am not able to comment on that at this point. I know that they're still digging through information, so hopefully they'll be able to provide information here, you know, as we move forward.
We spoke with your good friend Chris. You mentioned there was a text exchange with Riley and
Riley.
Are you able to expand on that?
We know that Riley was possibly texting and communicating with multiple people. Again, we don't know the exact people, we don't know the exact timeline, you know, or who the last person was.
Anything right now would kind of be speculation on our part. Yeah. To exactly what that was,
you know, no need to muddy the water. So I'm sure the detectives, as information becomes available that is pertinent like that, they will provide to us, and we will share as we can.
And again, we have a couple representatives from the police department here, and that may be a question that you could ask them. Before they come up, there's just, anybody else have questions for the family before I interrupt?
I do. Michelle, the last time you and I spoke, you told me he was here with 50 of his fraternity brothers. Not one of them left the bar to go with him. I know you were close out with some of his friends as well. What have those conversations been like since?
With the boys? I mean, they're heartbroken also. I mean, he's their best friend. And we love these boys like our own, and it's just as hard on them as it is on us.
And right now, we're really focusing on
bringing Riley home.
His last point.
He's my best friend. He's everything.
Is that it? So we are an all-volunteer organization. So people who work with us, volunteer with us, have jobs, have families. And so there's, at any given time, that number is going to fluctuate. You know, sometimes it might be 2 people, and sometimes it might be 200 people. At this point, I am the only boots on the ground for the United Cajun Navy, and that is going to change here very shortly. We're going to get as many people who are associated with our organization involved in this search. The ground search is what I'm referring to. We have a couple of representatives from MMPD who'd like to speak with you. But before they do, there's one thing I do want to say. And if I hurt somebody's feelings out there, oh well. I'm a retired Pennsylvania State Trooper. There has been a lot of chatter on social media about the police are or are not handling this investigation properly. They should have done this, they should have done that. If you're not a trained police officer, your speculation is just that, just speculation. I've been in constant contact with Detective Chandler, and I know that they have been making every effort that they can to bring this investigation, this search, to a close. So please, you folks out there on social media, think real hard about what you're going to post before you post it. And that goes as well for posts about the family and about this investigation. You know, the family doesn't really need to see posts on social media that say, well, maybe there's a serial killer out there and that's where he chunked him in the water. That's not cool. Anybody got a question for me? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a fleet of attack as far as going through these ground searches, water
give me the first part of that again. I missed it. Yes, ma'am. Well, like I said, we have two boats coming, and that's going to be obviously our water search. This terrain presents a very, very difficult challenge for a ground search. I'm sure y'all have seen on TV that, you know, when there's a field or a wooded area, that you have a line of people 2-3 feet apart and everybody just walking through. This is not going to be that. Also, the terrain is going to be very difficult to use any sort of tracking dog. Again, just because it's going to be very difficult to walk. So my goal, and part of the reason that I came down here early today, is so I could get my eyes on the terrain. I hadn't seen it yet, and formulate a plan for that. The plan right now is very loose and informal. We want all the volunteers to meet up with me before we go out. And probably about the only way that really and effectively be able to do this is put people in twos and threes, potentially fours. We are working on getting some supplies, ropes, etc., that are going to enable these people to safely traverse this terrain. If there is anybody out there who would like to contribute to that effort, please feel free to go on our website. Thank you, which is UnitedCajunNavy.org, and there's a donate button. You can feel free to donate there. But that's my next step, is to get the supplies and the equipment that's needed to be able to conduct this search safely. And that's, as far as the plan goes, that's all we have right now. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, yeah, yes and yes to your questions. You know, at this point, we're going to focus on the riverbank area and the water, because that appears to be the last place where Riley was seen. We have the last video footage that we have of him, I believe, is from this camera, is that right? From this camera on this building here, and the video footage from surveillance cameras all around the area do not indicate that he ever came up this way or up the steps by the courthouse or anything of that nature there. The last video is of him going underneath this bridge right here, and that's pretty much it. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't do some canvassing of the homeless encampments and the downtown area where there may be other homeless people, simply to see if we can pull out any other information. Speaking of which, if there is anybody out there that has any information about this, please step forward and get in touch with me. You can reach out to me on our Facebook page, which is simply United Cajun Navy on Facebook. If you are scared or concerned about the nature of your information, come and get hold of me anyway. All right. Our main goal here is to bring Riley home. Yes, you can message us on Facebook, and our email address is info@UnitedCajunNavy.org. And that's United Cajun is CajunNavy, UnitedCajunNavy.org. Anybody else? Gentlemen?
I'm Detective Anthony Chandler. This is Sergeant Bob Nielsen. We're with the Homicide Cold Case Unit for Metro Nashville Police, and we've been heading up the investigation into Riley's disappearance. As Mr. Flagg said, we've been in contact with him since the very beginning, coordinating what we could as far as with the family's active participation in locating Riley. That has been, and to this day remains, the top priority. There has not been any evidence that has come forward to change this to an ongoing criminal investigation at this time. Regardless of what else has been put out there, there are several leads that we are following up with on a constant basis, and an influx of information that is coming forward at all times. We are going through every single piece of that information, but the priority remains locating Riley.
As he said, I'm Sergeant Nielsen. I gave a briefing to our chain of command all the way up to the Chief Drake yesterday. They're well aware of where we are with the investigation at this point, as well as the resources. We do have our boat going back in the water this afternoon, along with members of the Urban Search and Rescue Team that will be combing the area, researching the area. It's been mentioned already today, and it's also been asked, you know, things like, why was that card found and why didn't we find it? As Mr. Flagg pointed out, there's a lot of variables in these investigations, and if you've not been skilled or trained or experienced in these investigations, you don't understand a lot of these things. As Don Aaron put out the other day, when we start a missing person investigation, we're looking for a person, we're looking for a body. We're not looking for small pieces of evidence. Can we miss some things? Sure. But our primary goal is to find Mr. Strain and bring him home safely. Think of it like a large crime scene. A lot of times you have to deal with the victims first before you can go back and start looking for those precise pieces of evidence, okay? That's kind of our focus here. We're looking for Mr. Strain, then we go back and look again. And because these two ladies over here were kind enough to volunteer their time and helped us by finding that, now we can do a more refined search with our Urban Search and Rescue, which is what they're gonna be doing this afternoon. And as Mr. Flagg said, with a lot of volunteers, if you're coming down to volunteer, understand it is very treacherous terrain. That's why we're using Urban Search and Rescue and not just anyone on the street, because our people are trained, they're equipped, they have everything that they need to conduct these searches. You won't even see a patrol officer go to some of these areas that are more treacherous. Why? Because they don't have the rappelling equipment and things of that nature. So we're utilizing all the resources we can. We've also going to be reaching out to Officer Emergency Management. They've been helping us quite a bit. Over the weekend, they've been back out with the boat, divers, cadaver dogs. They run sonar. Our boat has sonar. It's the same stuff. People have asked about TBI. It's the same resources they have. So there's not been a need for us to get additional assistance from these other agencies. However, like Mr. Flagg, Cajun Navy, they have that experience. They want to volunteer their time. They've been very gracious in talking with us, saying they're going to help us out. Not a problem at all. But again, if you have a structured organization like United Cajun Navy, you have the safety protocols in place, you have the equipment and the resources to utilize as to conduct that search, as well as to make certain everybody's safe doing that. We're gonna continue to search. We're still filtering all the Crime Stoppers tips, as Detective Chandler said. I cannot stress enough the volume of information we've gotten. We've had people get frustrated with us because they'll call us, say, on a Monday, and they don't know why we haven't gotten back to them on Monday. And I've had to explain to them, we have to weigh every piece of evidence we get, or information rather, evenly. We can't just jump to the top, because quite honestly, there's a lot of tips that we're getting that are not tips. They mean well, but they're not tips. So we have to prioritize what's actually providing information. And some of the other things I have my detectives doing today is re-canvassing the area for video. And while we don't think Riley may have been in any of these homeless camps away from this area, those are areas that we're going to be working on this afternoon ourselves. In regards to, we've had questions about some of the behind the scenes things we're doing, search warrants, that kind of thing. Please understand it's an open investigation. We cannot share that information with the public because it's an open investigation. It can, if it were to turn into a criminal investigation, well, obviously now we're negatively impacting that situation. So please understand, if you call us and you're asking us questions, there may be some things we cannot answer, and it's to maintain the integrity of the investigation, as well as any potential evidence, should there be a criminal component to it. I would also ask, as Mr. Flagg and everybody has, if you have questions for the family, you want to help the family, that's great, but please also respect their privacy. These kinds of incidents that happen, sometimes people with the best of intentions don't know the best way to approach people, and it can cause more stress for the family, so please be mindful of that.
One of the other things I wanted to make sure everybody understood, all the businesses and everybody we have asked for assistance as far as video or any other information, we have had absolute cooperation from everybody involved. There has never been a time to where anyone has had any issue in giving us any other information. To go along with what Mr. Flagg said, I know earlier I said this is not a criminal investigation this time. Should we uncover something that would change that, it's important that we go through one centralized source to where we know we can then change the manner in which we're searching and can start to conduct that in the proper manner. So if you do want to volunteer, we welcome all eyes to come help try to find Riley. But if we stumble across something to where we need to change the direction of the investigation, it is important that it's through one coordinated source and they're able to get with the information back to us so we can adjust accordingly.
I think the only thing I would like to add before we open up to questions is one of the concerns people have called in multiple times about is that he was, you know, Riley was being chased, he was being followed. We have seen no evidence of that. We've been through the video multiple times, and that is the reason why we released that body camera footage, because that officer had an interaction with him, and we've talked to other people that have indicated to us there was no injuries on Mr. Strain when they observed him, and there was no indication that he was running from anything or he was in fear. There's been a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misinformation out there, and we're putting out everything we can to dispel all of those misconceptions. We're happy to answer those questions, but again, people are taking what has already been put out, what the media's put out, and then putting their spin on it, calling back with Crime Stoppers tips that are not actually tips. They're their theory on what happened. We love people calling in and helping us, but we need actionable leads that we can follow up on. So please understand too, when you don't see us, like my detectives out in the field constantly, it's because we're trying to prioritize those tips that we're getting to find what's actually useful information that we can follow up on. Because sometimes we get tips that we can't follow up on. It's just a statement somebody's making. So with that, you have a question, ma'am?
Yes, sir. So the credit card being discovered separated from wherever Riley is and potentially separated from his wallet, some would say that could potentially go either way. Sure, maybe it just fell out and he didn't even realize, or maybe it was forcefully removed. So how do you decide which it is and which side to lean on, whether missing person versus criminal? Because a lot of folks would say, well, that could certainly indicate, or lay people would say, that could certainly indicate criminal activity.
Once we recovered the card, it was secured and processed properly to where it can be examined as far as going into a criminal matter at a later time if it's so needed.
How does the United Cajun Navy fit into MNPD's command structure?
We pretty much allow our people with the emergency contingency section and USAR to coordinate with them, because, you know, we do cold case investigations. We don't handle that part. So our job is typically to get them in touch with them and let them coordinate between the two, because they have the knowledge and expertise and they know how to communicate with one another and schedule with each other what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. It would be kind of a moot point for us to step in the middle of that other than to act as a liaison to get them in contact with one another.
Which two entities? You said get them in touch with them.
With one part of our department that handles like the urban search and rescue and the boat searches and everything, right. We get that unit in contact with Mr. Flagg.
So they're coordinating their efforts.
That's what we plan on, because our resources are coming back out this afternoon, and that's kind of our goal is with Mr. Flagg here today, is get him in touch with the supervisors over in that unit so they can make that coordination.
And then at what point would your office decide to no longer continue the investigation?
Until we have no other actionable leads. But because we work cold case, we continue working it until we just have nothing. And as new information comes in, we continue to pick it right back up and go right back to it. This is not going away. This is not going away anytime soon. And I have detectives that work cold case homicides that are decades old, and we continue to work on those. In fact, one of my detectives has been able to close two of them last year. So I say that to say, this isn't going away. We keep going until we have absolutely nothing, no new tips, no traces of anything to follow up on. But until that happens, we're still going to be out here doing everything.
How would you describe the actionable leads in front of MNPD right now?
In what regard?
Said we're going to keep going until we have no action.
Meaning if somebody calls in with a theory, okay, that's one thing. But unless they're giving us information like a name, a location where they saw a suspicious person, thought they saw a piece of an item that belonged to Riley, that doesn't help us. So we have to filter through to look for the things they're saying. Hey, around this time I saw John Doe at this location. He might have been wearing a similar shirt, or maybe he was talking to Riley. That's actionable. That's something we can follow up on. We can look for video cameras in the area. But when they just say, I just saw a homeless guy in the area, that doesn't help us, because it's nothing we can follow up on. Does that help?
So enough of those actionable leads are still coming in right
now? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And actually, that's why we were late coming up here, is because we've been following up on more of those.
When we last heard from you guys on Thursday, you were still waiting on cell phone and Apple Watch data. Have you received all of that at this point? And if you have, what have you been able to find from it?
At this point right now, what we have originally from Apple is what we're working off of, and all of the location data is what we've already released. So at this point in time, that's the same information we're going to be working off of.
I have a simple question. On the video that I saw, a lot of people were around, and they could have done something to help this young man. Stop him from drunk. And maybe we should push the national, but if you see that happen, don't be afraid to help someone. I mean, literally, on that video, I saw a lot of people that saw how drunk that guy was. It could have been stopped. Somebody could have said, hey, man, you need some help. Are you okay? Especially once you see somebody falling.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And unfortunately, that is the state of our society.
I know. Everybody's today. Scared to help somebody.
And I agree with you 100%. You know, Nashville population, if you see something, say something or do something.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Because I watched that and I'm like, nobody did anything to say, hey, man, this guy shouldn't be walking around like this.
Right, you know? Right.
So,
any other questions?
God bless you guys.
Could you guys
right?
say your name and spell it one more time and your title?
I'm Detective Anthony Chandler. C-H-A-N-D-L-E-R.
I'm Sergeant Robert Nielsen, N-I-E-L-S-E-N.
And you're with?
Metro Nashville Police Department, Cold Case Unit. You had a question, sir?
Yeah, could you all just go over again what it is that's making you say that there's no sign of foul play if he was not being a criminal investigation at this time? Is it a lack of evidence to the contrary, or do you have other information that suggests that?
Well, right now it's a lack of any evidence of a crime being committed. A lot of people have come up to us with various items claiming that it's indicative of it. And please understand, as a supervisor, I've been working homicides for 10 years. He's been working for a long time as a detective. And we're skilled in criminal investigations, what, you know, evidence can be, different possibilities, whether physical evidence, whether it's digital evidence or whatever. And if we don't have anything, like we don't at this point, that indicates that there's any indication of foul play, then If we go down that rabbit hole, then we're wasting resources and time from possibly looking for him, because now we're looking for evidence of a crime. And while we're open to the possibility it could be a crime, I mean, obviously there's always that possibility, right? But we haven't seen anything. And just because his bank card was found there, just because somebody heard something, until we have more to shore that up, we can't say that a crime occurred. So as soon as we have anything, if it exists, that indicates a crime occurred, assault or whatever the case may be, we immediately follow up on that. But we have to have evidence or probable cause, and a lot of people don't understand what probable cause is, but we have to have probable cause a crime even occurred. So that's why it's easy to jump to those conclusions, but that's where we have to tell people, this is why we don't do things at an accelerated rate. We have to do things methodically, like Mr. Flagg and his team, they do methodical searches, right? Our urban search and rescue, they do methodical searches, because if we just jump to conclusions every single time, we could actually miss more evidence, whether there was a crime or not, but still evidence of where he'd been or what happened to him, if we're just running all over the place going, oh, a crime happened, but now we're not looking over here anymore. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah. Has there been any other evidence connected to Mr. Strange since Sunday and the debit card?
Not that I'm aware.
In which regard?
As far as physical evidence, is that the only...
No, outside the debit card, that's the only physical evidence we have right now.
Oh, and somebody did find a phone, but I just want to put out there, it is not a phone that he had. He had an Apple phone. This was a Google Android phone. So I know that that's been a question that's come up as well. I just want to go ahead and clarify that.
Sorry, you said someone found a phone.
Yes, ma'am. They found it in the vicinity. They brought it to us immediately while we were out there Sunday. We did collect it just because we don't know who it belongs to. Don't know if it is in relation to this case. But right now, it's not his phone. We know that because we know he had an Apple phone, Apple Watch. This was an Android device.
You were the last transaction to trace back to on that main.
They were all on Broadway.
Well, we're not, but we're searching everywhere. Last Friday, we got a call that they thought they saw him up towards the Titans practice field somewhere, and we went out there and looked. So we're not just limited to here, but when we have somebody go missing, you have to start with the last place they were seen. You can't be that you know for a fact that they were seen. You can't just go, well, I thought I saw him over here, because a lot of people think that the video cameras everywhere catches everything, and they don't. We have people claiming there's video across the river, but some of them don't reach this riverbank. So if we start searching over there, but we don't know he was over there, but we know he was on this side of the river, this is going to do us more good, because that's going to allow the people that are trained in doing searches to have a starting point and have more tangible things to look at as opposed to just going around and speculating which areas he could be. Obviously, if we have something that leads us further down, we will. But right now, that's why the areas that they're focusing on is this immediate area, because we know for a fact that was his last known point of contact with anyone.
We know Riley was asked to leave the bar around 9:35. We've seen the subsequent videos, but can you give us a timeline of where he was at on Broadway or other places in the city prior to Luke Bryan's bar?
Prior to that is he was here with his friends enjoying a night on Broadway. Our focus begins when he leaves from that location, and then he starts going up 3rd Avenue to Church Street and proceeds over to the Gay Street corridor right below us, because that's where he went missing.
But there was a big question on whether or not he was overserved on Broadway. The Bryan's bar came out and said he had one drink. Were there other bars that he was at that you guys are looking into on whether or not he was overserved?
We're pulling video surveillance from every location that we're aware that he was at. As far as this time right now, like I said, our focus is on locating Riley. Anything subsequent from that will be followed up once we've concluded that part.
And unfortunately, we're going to have to kind of end it there for us. We have some follow-ups we have to do right now, but our PIO office will definitely be putting out more information as we get it. The family, we've been in contact with them and updating them as soon as we can. So appreciate your time. And if you have any other questions in the meantime for our department, please focus them to our PIO for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Flynn.
Yes, sir.
So just real quick, I wanted to tag on to a question that was asked about the Cajun Navy's relationship with MNPD, and it's a cooperative relationship. We're not under their command, they're not under our command. However, we do defer to them first. We don't take any significant actions without checking with Detective Chandler first. I've got two young ladies here who have been... doing some extensive searching. These are the young ladies that found Riley's debit card. We're not going to use names. We're going to just let them be anonymous. But they have some suggestions and some information for other potential searchers.
I guess the most important thing that we want to make sure everybody knows when you are joining us to search is I have layers under these jeans, I have boots, we have masks, because when you are moving stuff, there is stuff flying everywhere. You have to have gloves with grips. There will be rocks falling, so you have to be very careful. If you want to wear a helmet, that's something we really might suggest. We haven't done it. It's very difficult to go down this embankment, but it's extremely possible, especially if you're able. You're just going to have to be very careful with your footing. And we really, really recommend gripped gloves, because we've been using that to grab onto branches to either bring ourselves back up or to move around. Once you get down there, you are going to be walking across the river on rocks, and they are wobbly. And as we said, there's other rocks that will be falling down. Be very, very careful, and do not go alone. I did not go until she came with me, because we knew that it would be very dangerous if something happened. Nobody would be able to find me then. It's very, very hard to actually hear each other down there too. Even if we're just like 15, 20 feet away, I can yell to her and it's hard to hear. I guess if you guys have any questions, I can answer it, but that's about all I have to say at the moment. Perfect.
Thank you, ladies.
Yes.
All right, that's, I think, pretty much all we have, unless there are other questions. Okay, once again, yes, sir.
Do you know, for the volunteer purposes, how much of the area has been grid searched? Was it grid searched by law enforcement from the standpoint of where the ID was found? So maybe everybody's not duplicating, going down the same bank. Do you know if that's been done?
I don't know if MNPD has done a grid search. To my knowledge, none of the volunteers have done that. And it's, again, going to be very, very challenging to do any kind of a grid search in that terrain. We are going to try to do something that approaches a grid search, but all I can tell you is going to be is the best we can do. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What is the best way to sign up to search with you guys?
I would go to www.unitedcajunnavy.org or send an email to info@unitedcajunnavy.org. That comes, all, both of those come to me. All right. Anything else? All right, once again, I just want to thank everybody, the whole community, the online community, all the volunteer searchers that have been involved in this. You know, you folks are going to be the ones potentially that break this case open. So keep on doing what you're doing. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. If you see something, say something. And again, once we figure out when we're going to do this organized search, we will let the media outlets know, and they can push that information out for us. All right? Okay, thanks again.
Thank you. Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Science, science, science! Science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes!
Woo!
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.